at those moments when you face immediate challenge or you're looking ahead across the horizon to long-term challenges, you have to ask yourself, is keeping within this international rules-based order that we have benefited from so much since 1945, does that remain in the national interest to be out there supporting it? And I'm convinced it does.
Welcome to this IBA Global Insight podcast. I'm Alice Johnson, the IBA's multimedia journalist. I recently spoke to Richard Hermer KC, the Attorney General of England and Wales since July 2024, about championing the rule of law, fixing the criminal justice system, and the importance of international law. He began by discussing the UK's leadership role in promoting international law.
It's an ongoing leadership role that we have to play in the world by explaining not only to our partners, but to the world generally, all the important things that international law brings, not least stability. Stability that allows for prosperity, stability that allows for security. And I think we've been very consistent throughout our time in government about the importance of that framework. And you've seen it in the leadership of the Prime Minister. I think we came into power in July 2024, in which the United Kingdom's role on the international stage had been diminished. I don't think there's any doubt about that. The Prime Minister's returned us to prominence. World leaders come to London and they come and they turn to the Prime Minister at times of when there's kind of international uncertainty or instability. So we have re-established that leadership role. And I think the clarity with which the Prime Minister has talked about the importance of international law has been the boost to allow us to get back to that leadership role.
Since Hermer became Attorney General in 2024, global threats to the rule of law and democracy have escalated and international conflict has grown. Speeches made at the World Economic Forum in January by the leaders of France and Canada warned of an upheaval of the international rules-based order, largely because of actions by the US. Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney called on middle powers to build new alliances based on values including human rights and sustainable development.
Let me be direct. We are in the midst of a rupture, not a transition. Over the past two decades, a series of crises in finance, health, energy, and geopolitics have laid bare the risks of extreme global integration. But more recently, great powers have begun using economic integration as weapons. Tariffs as leverage, financial infrastructure as coercion, supply chains as vulnerabilities to be exploited.
In response to the grave concerns raised by France and Canada, Hermer believes in strengthening the existing international order.
We face unique challenges sometimes through a weekly news cycle, but we're also facing longer term challenges to all of us on the globe, be it climate change, be it AI, as well as the type of challenges that Mark Carney, President Macron were responding to. At those moments when you face immediate challenge or you're looking ahead across the horizon to long-term challenges, you have to ask yourself, is keeping within this international rules-based order that we have benefited from so much since 1945, does that remain in the national interest to be out there supporting it? And I'm convinced it does. I'm convinced it does for reasons of security in this country. I believe it does for reasons of prosperity in this country, as well as the international community as a whole. So I think this is a moment to effectively double down on the importance of the international frameworks that keep us all safe.
The ECHR is an international treaty drafted in 1950 by the Council of Europe to protect fundamental rights, such as the right to life, family and private life, fair trials and freedom of expression. It has been heavily criticised by opponents, including the UK's political opposition, which wants the UK to withdraw from the convention, based on concerns about issues including immigration. But the government believes the convention and its interpretation need to adapt to changing times. Justice Secretary Shabana Mahmood told members of the House of Lords that the government does not want to withdraw from the convention.
We're not wanting to play, as you might say, populist politics with it. You know, we go in with a from a position of believers in what the convention is trying to achieve. And if people who want, who support this instrument and who want it to work can't have this debate in a sensible way, then, I mean, honestly, there's no hope really at all.
Hermit explains the government's latest point of view.
Any international law instrument or any international law institution has to evolve as society evolves, as the challenges that we face evolve. And we've been very kind of clear within the Council of Europe about the need for the interpretation of the convention and the institutions to adapt to the challenges that we have. That's what you would expect in a kind of a living instrument and an institution that is designed to adapt. So that's why we've been working with partners across the Council of Europe. We're in discussions at the moment. At the same time, we've made crystal clear that we are supporters of the convention, always have been, under this government we always will be, and of the Council of Europe. And they're kind of really compelling reasons why we are supporters. And that is because the convention, the European Convention of Human Rights, in large part drafted by Brits and reflecting values that have been long held in this country, the reason we're such supporters is because time and time again, the convention has delivered and upheld rights of working people in this country, and that's why we're supporters of it.
In 2024, the government tasked Sir Brian Leveson, a former senior judge, with leading an independent review into the crisis facing the UK criminal court system. His findings included a proposal to reduce jury trials, now an element of the Courts and Tribunal Bill before Parliament, and one that has proved controversial.
I'm a great believer in trial by jury, but trials with a jury take very much longer than trials conducted otherwise than with 12 people who are utterly unused to criminal procedure and criminal evidence. So my concern is that we need to get through cases quicker.
Hermit agrees with Sir Brian Leveson that radical reform of the criminal justice system is required.
I know my colleague, the Deputy Prime Minister, David, is laser focused on ensuring that we deal with this backlog that we inherited when we came into government. So the figures are of themselves staggering, over 80,000 cases still waiting to go through the system. But the human stories that lie beneath those figures are dreadful. I mean, you can wait at the moment up to 4 years if you are a victim of rape to have your case determined. 4 years of every night terrified about the trial that might await you. You've got defendants who are now gaming the system because it takes so long, thinking that if they enter a not guilty plea, the complainant might walk away. Completely unacceptable. And across rape cases, you can see it in every other area of crime. So you can't allow that to remain. We've got to think radically about how we address it. So Brian's work has been really helpful in identifying different steps that we can take. And I know that David, the Lord Chancellor, is determined to drive it forward. In my previous job, was instructed in lots of cases that were to do with miscarriages of justice. So I kind of understand the importance of jury trials within the criminal justice system, of course, and the importance, the real importance of jury trials. But the starting point is this, is there is no absolute right to a jury trial in this country. Indeed, about 90% of cases are never dealt with by a jury. What we have done before is identify the threshold at which a case can be dealt with by a judge alone, and that where there is a right to a jury. That threshold, which is currently 12 months for a sentence, that threshold isn't one that's identified by kind of natural law. It's a policy decision as to where you're going to put that threshold. And so what we are proposing now is a matter of policy, endorsed as it's going to have to be through Parliament, is to raise that threshold to deal with an absolute acute crisis that we are facing. So I think we are right to be doing that, building on Sir Brian's work, because we're doing it for victims. We're doing it to ensure we have a functioning criminal justice system. It's not the only thing that we are doing, obviously. We're trying to use all the kind of tools in the tool bag to address what is a really profound problem at the moment. We need to work with the judiciary as well to kind of factor in ensuring that there's appropriate training to ensure that there is no inherent bias, or that any inherent bias that's in there is identified, addressed, and dealt with. I should say, I used to sit as a part-time High Court judge before I had this job, and there is already really significant work that is done with judges, the trained judges, to ensure that the kind of biases that can be inherent in systems are identified and addressed.
Education on the fundamental importance of the rule of law is crucial, believes Herma.
You know, I am really passionate about getting out there and talking about the rule of law, not least to young people. And one of the things that we are doing within this department is thinking hard about how we communicate to young people about the importance of the rule of law, because it's a really long-held, cherished value in this country. But like lots of values, unless you remind yourself what it is and why it's important, sometimes we forget about it. So we are out there, we are working with schools, we are working with young people to kind of explain what the rule of law is, which is, you know, if you want to distill it down to its essence in a way that I would describe it to young people, it's about fair play. It's about having a kind of clear set of rules that everybody has to apply to themselves, no one's above those rules. It's about having independent refs if you have a dispute about whether you've broken the rules or not. And so we're out there in classrooms, we're working hard with the Department of Education to think about how we get this into the national curriculum. This government, along with lots and lots of governments, believe in the rule of law, and we're not going to stop talking about it. And I think people believe in it. I think when people are clear about their belief in it, when we stand up for what we believe, it will survive. I am absolutely optimistic about the future for this country, and indeed about the future for the globe. And kind of core to that is this central underpinning of the rule of law.